The scripture today is Thessalonians 5, 12 through 18. Now we ask you, brothers and sisters, to acknowledge those who work hard among you, who care for you in the Lord and who admonish you. Hold them in the highest regard and love because of their work. Live in peace with each other. And we urge you, brothers and sisters, warn those who are idle and disruptive. Encourage the disheartened. Help the weak. Be patient with everyone. Make sure that nobody pays back wrong for wrong, but always strive to do what is good for each other and for everyone else. Rejoice always. Pray continually. Give thanks in all circumstances, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. Thanks be to God for the gift of Scripture. Amen.
So you may have noticed that the title of the sermon series is Tell Me Something Good. And when I hear that, I think of the song, Tell Me Something Good. Well, that is Megan and the band's experience as well. So they rewrote the song, and this is our little gift to you as an intro into the sermon today. Listen to this.
Today is the first Sunday that we're in our new series, Tell Me Something Good, and I hope that you're really going to enjoy this. The idea originally came from watching the John Krasinski video. He has a video called Some Good News. It's on the YouTube channel. Karen and I have really enjoyed watching those. I think he's done four or five of them now, and I just find that they're really outstanding. You may have seen one recently where he did an at-home prom for everybody, and he brings in celebrities and others. But the idea is to give you something that makes you feel good. And so I invite you to think about this sermon series. Every week, we're going to give you some good news, and we're also going to give you some ways to think and be during this time when all of us are in the middle of this quarantine. God has made you and me to be our best self, but sometimes it's hard to draw that best self out of us. And so each week, we're going to give you some spiritual disciplines to try, some things to do that I think will be bringing out something good in you. We're going to refer to the Apostle Paul, and we're going to refer to the Apostle Paul because he was a master of offering his best self to God during times of persecution and times of hardship. Paul calls us to be thankful in all circumstances. And so each week, we will be reminded of God's faithfulness, we'll be shown that there's good in the world, and that Christ is calling you and me to be a part of that good. And the Bible's really asking us, how about you? What's your part in this? Paul was compelled to write to this community in Thessalonica because they were in the middle of a very hard time. They were in the middle of a time when they too needed encouragement. They were in a time of persecution. And this happened in the early church when Christians were persecuted for their faith in Christ by the Roman government. Some were facing harsh treatment, and others were facing trials, and Paul wanted to help them. And they considered him to be a credible resource because Paul had a PhD in hardship. I mean, this guy really knew what it was like to keep your faith and be the best that God's made you to be despite your circumstances. And they all knew Paul's story the same way we know it if you've read the book of Acts or read his letters. Paul was someone who had been imprisoned for his faith. He had been thrown out of synagogues, out of cities, out of towns. He had been beaten. He had faced death many times. Crowds had pelted him with rocks. He was shipwrecked once. He often did heavy labor and didn't have enough sleep. He often was cold and didn't have enough clothes and was without food. And in all those things, through his letters, as Paul writes, over and over again, he reminds people, be grateful, be thankful. And we'll give you four qualities, but not just qualities. We'll give you the behaviors that drive the personality qualities that come out of them. This portion that we look at today, I want to go back and read and walk through some of the verses with you that Connie just shared a moment ago. I'm going to start with verse 12. So if you've got your Bible open, or if you've got a phone or a tablet or something that you can pull a Bible app up, I want you to do that now. Go to 1 Thessalonians. Go to chapter 5, and then we'll go to the 12th verse, and that's where we're going to start. Now, we ask you, brothers and sisters, to acknowledge those among you who work hard, who care for you in the Lord, and who admonish you. Now, he starts right there. He says, acknowledge those among you who work hard. Now, if you've got that pad and paper, and remember I called you to think about who would God have you who would God speak to you about this morning? Who does God want you to reach out to this morning? I want you to be thinking about that as you do it, as we go through the sermon. And this is where, again, hear it. Brothers and sisters, acknowledge those who work hard among you. Paul's saying, think about the people right around you. He's saying, show them a little love. Show them a little gratitude. Like, what are the things that people do that have been a real blessing to you, maybe just this morning, with somebody kind to you, with someone gentle with you? Maybe it was this weekend sometime. What was done and what should be acknowledged? And then he goes on in verse 13. He says, hold them in the highest regard and in love because of their work. Live in peace with one another. And we urge you, so hold them in high regard. That's a calling out of respect. And, you know, we expect this in our homes, don't we? Sometimes we'll say, hey, I want to be treated with respect. And respect doesn't just go from the young to the older. It goes from the older to the young. And Paul says that. It's right here in the scripture. Hold them in highest regard in love because of their work. And that means if anybody in your home does a chore, if anybody does a favor, if some neighbor does a kind thing, no matter who it is or where they're at, can you hold them in high regard, not just because of what they do, but for who they are? That level of respect makes relationships so much richer. And then he says, live in peace with each other. And we urge you, brothers and sisters, now listen to this, warn those who are idle and disruptive. Now hold up right there. Paul is calling us out on ungrateful behaviors. And he's saying, warn those who are idle and disruptive. And friends, I don't know about you, I think all of us have lived with little Billy Idol and his kid sister, Debbie Disruptive, and they may be in your home today. You may know exactly who they are. Do not point any fingers. That will not help during the sermon time. But do you know what I'm talking about? Idle, like, I don't want to get out of bed. I don't want to do anything. No, you can't make me do my chores. Idle, idle. Disruptive. That's the people that, like, when good things are happening and everybody's trying to get along, there's this one person who's just in that grouchy mood, and they disrupt community. And Paul calls us out on those behaviors. He says, look, if you want the life that is good, if you want the Jesus Christ-filled life, idle, disruptive, that's not going to work. So again, maybe think about that. Are there times when you've been that person who is idle, who is disruptive? And maybe that's something that God's just, the Holy Spirit's just tapping you on the shoulder. It's just, hey, right now, I just want you to know, that's not Tom, that's the Holy Spirit that's tapping you on the shoulder right now saying, hey, can you work on that for the betterment of our home, for the betterment of this situation? Now, stick with me. Paul in verse 12 goes on. He says, encourage. Now, here's the opposite thing. He says, don't be idle, don't be disruptive. But then he says, do this. Encourage the disheartened. Help the weak and be patient. Get this. With everybody. Be patient with everybody. Is there somebody that you're trying to encourage from a distance? Maybe it's a member of your family. And when you call them, they're just sort of down or they're having a hard time. Encourage everybody. And encouragement is a repetitive task. Be patient with everyone. And then look in verse 15. Make sure that nobody pays back wrong for wrong, but always strive to do what is good for each other and for everyone else. And now Paul gives you the how. Here's how you're going to do all that. And this next line, really, we could preach on this next line for four straight Sundays. We won't, but we could. Look at verse 16. Rejoice always. And then verse 17. Pray continually. Now get ready for it. Verse 18. Isn't it interesting that those words are separate verses? And it's almost like the person who put the numbers in when it was like, everybody ought to get this, you know? Rejoice always, pray continually. And now, verse 18, give thanks in all circumstances. And that's today. For this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. And Paul was saying that the secret of thriving in hard times is gratitude. It's thanksgiving. It's that attitude that changes everything. Now, you may be thinking, Tom, how am I supposed to do that? I mean, do not give me a bunch of Sunday morning platitudes. I've got stuff I'm worried about. I'm trying to educate my own children and the teacher's virtual. And it's. Do you have any idea how hard that is? Can I answer that? No, I do not. I do not. But I do know what it's like to raise kids. And I do know what it's like to be in circumstances where you're closed in. We're all doing this together. We're all doing this. And you may be saying, Tom, you don't understand. I'm not worried about my company tomorrow or next week. I'm worried about August, and I've got a whole bunch of employees that are depending on me in some form or fashion. Friends, I get it. All of us could say hard things. There are graduates who aren't going to graduate with their friends. They're college students that have had a really disappointing end of the semester. We could just go person after person. I'm working right now with brides and grooms who are rescheduling weddings. Can you imagine? I mean, that's just hard work. So the question is how? How do we do that? I'm going to give you three ways. Now, if you want to write these down, you're welcome to, but what I want you to think about more importantly than what I'm saying is what the Lord is saying to you. And I'm going to take, to get to the how, I think this is in keeping with all of Paul's writings, but I'm going to really use something that Jesus said about the great commandment. I've preached on this many times. He said, love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. And he said, the second is as important as the first, love your neighbor as yourself. So what if we thought about gratitude on that, on those pegs. So let me give you that handhold. There's the handhold of be grateful to God, be grateful to your neighbor, and be grateful to yourself. I'm going to cover all three. So let's launch in. Be grateful to God. I'm supposed to be at the beach pretty soon. Not right now, but pretty soon. Every year, I take a little study week. It's about 4 days. I go down to the beach, to the Outer Banks, and it is just a great week of my life. And I've got two buddies. They come down. They're also pastors, and we work all day long. We hardly talk except mealtimes during the day, but then in the evening, we get to hang out together. And I just have to tell you, it's just a great time. And I was feeling kind of disappointed. I know that's a small disappointment compared to what many of you are dealing with. I know it's small, but you know what? My small sometimes feels big to me. And so this week I was playing poor Tom. You know, poor Tom's not going to get to go to the beach. Poor Tom's not going to get to do a study week. And when I was doing that, I finally decided, well, you know what? Why don't you go and look at some pictures of the beach? Because that is one of my happy places. You've got some happy places in your life. That's one of mine. So the good news is I've taken a lot of beach pictures over the years. And you know what's funny? I like to get up early in the morning and go down to the beach. We've got this big dog, Mudge, and he'll get up and go down there with me, and or Karen and I will go. And I don't know how many of those pictures I looked at are sort of early morning sunrise pictures. And you know, I was trying to figure out, why have you taken all these pictures? And I finally figured out why. Every sunrise at the beach is the best sunrise I've ever seen, every single one. And they all look remarkably the same. Some of them are taken from about the exact same location. And you can see the pink hue, you can see the sun rising. But as I was looking at those pictures, I started remembering what it was like to be in that place. And I could hear it. I could hear the waves sort of gently rolling in. And some mornings it's just like a lake, and other mornings it's loud. But I could hear that. What I was listening to was the gentle lapping of waves up onto the shore in the morning. And I could see the sun coming up and the rays of sun going across the horizon. And honestly, it's almost like when I stand there, I can feel the arms of the Lord just reaching out and just doing this, just being like, hey, how you doing? I'm so good to see you. And when I'm there, I think, how is it that a God who is as vast as the ocean and as powerful as those waves can even think of a speck of a person? And just, I have that feeling. And maybe you may say, well, you're just imagining that, but I don't think so. I feel like I can just feel that. And sometimes as I was looking at that photo, I could feel that breeze that comes off that ocean air that comes off. Sometimes it comes from the side down this way. It's going south to north sometimes. And it just wraps around. It just like a caress. It just folds around my face. And it's like the Holy Spirit speaking to my question, Lord, how can you even be mindful of me? And I feel that Spirit say, the Holy Spirit says, you are my beloved child. Ooh, I was kind of hoping I was at the beach, to be honest with you. When I close my eyes and I say that out loud, honestly, I'm right there. I'm right there. And it inspires in me this sense of gratitude. You don't have to be at the beach to have that. Karen and I were taking the dog for a walk the other day. All my stories are dog stories today. But we were taking the dog for the walk the other day. And we turned in this corner back in some woods near our home. There's a little trail. And the skunk grass was in full bloom, and it's this vivid green color. I can't even describe it to you, but it's this vivid green, and it only stays like that for a certain amount of time, that certain color. And the way the light hits it, it almost illumines the green. And I said, Karen, look at the skunk grass. That's amazing. And then she said, look at the green leaves. Look at it. And we just paused. And we're like, wow. Now, you may think that like being married to a pastor is one long devotional moment, right? It's, trust me, it is not. It is not at all. But we do have moments. You have moments. You have moments where you see something and your heart's just so grateful to God, right? That's what I'm talking about. Now, if you have moments of gratitude to God and you pay attention to them and you cultivate them, that will drive certain behaviors. And my best example of this is, since all this started, you have given over $101,000 to that COVID-19 relief fund. And it's really remarkable. We're starting to share that with organizations that are telling, hey, we've got people that need rent, so we're helping them, those that have social workers. And we've been able to help some other folks close by in the church. We're reaching out to organizations. Can I tell you something good today? Now, here's the deal. When I say, can I tell you something good, I'm going to count to three, and then I want you to say out loud, tell me something good. And I know you're like, I'm not doing that. That's stupid. I'm not doing it. No, it is not. You're going to do it because it's just more fun if you do. So I'm going to count to three. I'm going to go one, two, three. And then you're going to say, tell me something good. And the people here in this room, as we're taping, they're going to do the same thing. And it's ready. One, two, three. I will. I'll tell you something good. Because right here we are filming, and I want to tell you something. This week, Herndon Cares met. Now, this is an organization that just started with this quarantine time. We've got people in the Herndon Reston area, and they're experiencing food scarcity. And a lot of faith communities are all worried, how are we going to get food to people? And so we're doing that in a number of ways. But Herndon Cares is one of those ways. What they do is they match people with food scarcity, that issue, over with restaurants in the area. And friends, this last time they got the meals down to $6.30 per meal. So it might even been a little bit less, but not much. But the point is, that gets the restaurants, the employees of the restaurants who have something to do. There's some work that's generated, a little bit of economic activity. And then faith communities are contributing. And you all have been so generous. So we're at this meeting, and the numbers of food scarce people, they've grown almost exponentially. So it started like 65 people, and then it went to like 300 people. Well, this past week, we said, what's the number? And they said, it's over 1,100 people. And everyone was like, wow, that's a lot of people. That's like, how much is that? And they said, well, our estimate is this week it's going to be $7,200, you know? And everybody's like, oh, wow, that's a lot of money. And I just thought, there's an opportunity. And so made some calls after the meeting was over, made some calls, checked in with some folks. And so you paid. I called the director of Herndon Cares. I was like, could Flores pay for everybody's meal? Could we buy 1,100 people their dinner this week? And the director's like, you certainly can. Absolutely. We can make that happen. And so a check got to them for the money. It's all already done. And you know what? Here's what I think. I think there are so many of you who wake up every day and you're just grateful to God. You're grateful to God for your blessings. Some of you have told me, you're like, you know what? I didn't need that stimulus check. I'm going to give it to the COVID-19 fund. Others said, you know what? I've got money. I'm going to do. We can do this. We can afford this. And you just blow me away. And what I'm excited about is, see, that is now driving the ability to care for other people. And it's really pretty remarkable what you're doing. So, be grateful to God. You'll be amazed what comes out of that. And it'll just happen unconsciously, and it'll just happen. But then, be grateful to those around you, your neighbor. Love God, love neighbor, love self. And when you're grateful to your neighbor, what I want you to know is there are basically three ways to show gratitude to your family and your neighbor. Number one is verbal. There's verbal gratitude. Number two, concrete expressions of gratitude. Verbal can either be something I say or something that I write. Concrete expressions of gratitude, that's something you do. So let me give you an example. Verbal gratitude is, oh my goodness, honey, you emptied the dishwasher. Everybody gather around. And you're not doing it because you're harassing them. You're really serious. You're like, way to go. Empty the dishwasher. Woohoo! You know, concrete expressions of gratitude is like this. Somebody makes dinner, and they get up, and they're starting to clean up. But other people stand up, and they say to the person, you made dinner. Let us clean up. And the concrete action is when they do the cleaning up and the cleaning of the place and everything, and everything gets put away, and it's done. And the person that made the dinner doesn't have to do the cleaning up. That's concrete. And then there's a third type, and the third type is called connective gratitude. Connective gratitude is when you reciprocate someone's kindness with gifts like friendship or some form of unexpected help. So that's in some of the calling you're doing. That's some of the checking in on relatives or friends or people that are single. Maybe you're doing this on their own, and you just check in with them, say, how are you doing? And that connective gratitude makes a big difference. Now, I read studies about gratitude this past week, and here's one of the things I discovered. People from different parts of the world experience gratitude differently. And this is really important in a community like ours, where we're in a cross-cultural community. So if you grew up in an individualistic society like America, that's about 15% of the world's population, you will love the first category. You'll like written or spoken gratitude, and you'll receive it. You know, Americans, people that grew up in this culture, we tend to be great. If somebody says, hey, I want to thank you for that, we tend to be pretty good at going, hey, thanks. I really appreciate that. It's no problem. We get a thank you note, and we read it, and we're like, wow, that was really nice of them, and you receive it. But if you grew up in a collective culture, a lot of cultures in Asia, South Asia, in those cultures, people often struggle to receive that sort of spoken gratitude. To them, that might feel embarrassing, like they're being observed or noticed. It might feel to them like it might be hard for them to do, because they might feel bad that they had to receive your help to begin with, and that just sets off some weird dynamics. And so those cultures tend to use the concrete gratitude. So you might have a neighbor and you take them a meal. And then you just, like, you're thinking maybe they said at the door, hey, thank you very much. And you thought that was the deal. You thought that was it. But then, like, a couple days later, they bring a meal back. And you're sort of like, well, wait a minute. I didn't want you to bring something back. That may be the cultural way that they express gratitude, because they are focused more on concrete or collective connective type of gratitude. In these studies, it's especially true, they said, with people who are from the South India, the Tamil people of South India. It's also true of South Korean people. It's also true of Taiwanese people. So there are a number of folks that are like this. So what am I saying? I'm saying, wouldn't it be great if we could learn from the whole world? Sometimes make it verbal or written. Sometimes make it an act you do. Sometimes make it a connective experience that helps you help somebody else know you love them. I've got a friend who, a lifelong friend who has cancer right now, and I'm in a lot more contact with her. We were next door neighbors, babies together, and it's just been such a joy for me just to send a text. Or the other day I left her a voicemail that was kind of silly, but there are things you can do, and they're not like me being nice. That's coming out of the gratitude I feel for that person and that lifelong relationship. And you've got people like that in your life too. Now, just pause a second. On that piece of paper, what's God saying to you? Not an outline of my sermon, but what's God saying to you? Is there a note you want to write? Is there a call you want to make? Is there an action you want to do? It's around gratitude. I think God's got the ability to speak to you. And if you'll follow up on it, you're going to find that that action that the Lord gave you is going to bring you joy. It's going to change how you interact in your homes and interact with clients or work or whatever else that you're doing. Then there's gratitude for self. Oh, wait, before I go to gratitude for self, let me demonstrate this. This week, what a week, you all. She Believes in Me is all set up in the fellowship hall of the church. And there are a couple of volunteers come in at a time, and they package the food. A couple of volunteers make sure that the food gets to the people that are getting it to other people. It's all done as safely as everybody's really paying attention. But this past week, we had this opportunity. The local Islamic Center got a hold of Whole Foods. Whole Foods delivered over 6,000 pounds of fresh produce, organic fresh produce, to Food for Others. And see, our church has relationships with all these people that we've built for years, and we're in a community together. So we're all working together for good right now. So we heard about this, and we got an email, and then we put a call out to the church. Does anybody have a vehicle? Well, not once, but now twice, Merv and Jose have gone down to Food for Others, and they have picked up this food. And they brought back like 600 pounds of food each time. We filled refrigerators in the church with this food. And then She Believes in Me, they their volunteers got it out to people. So people are getting fresh produce on top of the canned goods that you've been bringing by, and you've been filling those blue bins. Friends, sometimes three times a day you're filling those. I couldn't be any more grateful to see what you're doing. And then Grace Ministries on Saturday, Grace Ministries was here. They gave over 6,000 pounds. That's about like 35 pounds of food per family that pulled up here. And on top of that, we had more of the fresh produce, and we gave them that as well. So what's my point? My point is, it's something really good, and it's arising out of your gratitude to God and your gratitude to the community you live in, your neighbor. And then what about you? What about yourself? You gotta love yourself. You gotta be grateful for yourself. Now, here's what I mean by that. It's hard for us to show gratitude to ourselves, and yet I think God is thankful for you. I mean, if God wasn't grateful for you, why would God make you, right? So if God is grateful for you, but you don't feel grateful for you, who should I go with? I'm going with the Lord on this one. That's my theory. And I'm thinking that you can do what I'm doing. You can be grateful for you too. And I know maybe you were raised to like never be prideful, never draw attention to yourself, never. In fact, some of you were raised in such a way that you think the only good thing you can do is insult yourself whenever anybody says anything nice about you. And I'm inviting you not to do that. I'm inviting you to be grateful for you. Now, you're not perfect, are you? And you're sinful, so you make mistakes, and sometimes you commit sins. And can I just tell you, you are more than the sum total of the mistakes you've made. That's what Bryan Stevenson says. I finished his book just recently, Just Mercy. You're more than one thing or some things. And so what I want to invite you to do, I'm reading Sheryl Sandberg's book, Option B. And in that, she has a phrase that's called self-compassion. She didn't originate that. She got it from someone else, but she uses it really effectively. And Sandberg talks about how when her husband died and he was in his 40s, they'd only been married 11 years. His name was Dave. And she said she just felt so lousy because if she would have known he was going to die, like on their anniversary, she took their kids somewhere, there was something that was going on, and so they made a decision as a couple, hey, we'll postpone the anniversary celebration, and she just had so many things like that she would have done differently maybe. And I'm not saying she made the wrong decision, but she just had a lot of self-negative talk. And after the funeral was over, she said it was just hard to get up out of bed in the morning. And so she learned this phrase, self-compassion, and she started keeping a little journal in the evenings. And so, a friend of hers suggested that she just write one thing that she felt good about that she did that day. And she said, like the first couple days, the entries are things like made tea, you know? You're having a bad time when made tea is like the one big event. But you know what? That was the one handhold that she needed to start a journey back. And then she said one day she wrote, got through all of my emails today. And the next day she wrote down like focused on one meeting and participated really well, you know. So one by one, and she would record them in her journal so that she could see the day before that she had done some things. She didn't need to give up, but she had self-compassion. She didn't feel like she had to like set the world on fire. I'm inviting you to show gratitude to yourself in the same way right now. Write out what you did well. Write out what you celebrate about you, because it makes a world of difference. Now, Paul said, I'm going to read it to you again. Paul said, encourage the disheartened, help the weak, be patient with everyone, rejoice always, pray continually, and give thanks in all circumstances, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. Now, when I started this sermon, I don't think I prayed, so I want to pray for you right now. And I want to pray that God will bless you to take what you're thinking, what the Lord's put in your mind on the piece of paper, and actualize it. If it's like two full pages, maybe not. Maybe just one or two things off the list. But let's have a word of prayer. Lord, I want to pray for everyone who's watching this on Sunday and everyone who watches it in the days thereafter, that each of them, I just celebrate, Lord, that you can use this mode to bless somebody. and that somebody's going to hear this, and as they hear it, many will hear it, and they will actually do something, and your Holy Spirit is going to speak to each of us separately and differently, but you're going to speak to all of us because you love all of us, and I pray for them in Jesus' name. Amen.